this meeting of the House of Representatives will be well put to order. It is Friday, January 21st, and the time is 8:01, and the date is the meeting room of the Alaska State Capitol in Durham. Members of the House of Representatives present are co-chair Representative Andy Stewart, Representative Nick Knapp, Representative Ron Dillon, Representative Tiffany Zelpesky, I believe, will be present on Teams, and myself, Representative Ryan Thurman. We have room to do their business, and before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Today, our Republican Secretary is Lauren Rowland, and Katya Hanks is our LEO Manager and our Assistant with Tech and Telecom Support. Thank you both. Today, we will pick up where we left off last week and conduct special sessions again. And continue our work on Representative Chris Hopkins on House Bill 18, Teachers, National Board Certification, followed by Representative Rules, House Bill 21, and Faculty Member University Board of Regents. First up, House Bill 18, Representative Chris Hopkins and staff, please come forward and introduce yourselves to the record.
Pleased to know that there's universal support
time as a school board member, I'm from international organization and local school boards. Brought this out right there, teachers that have achieved this level of recognition. And questions of the sponsor at this time, Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Chair Biden. To see what the standards were, and I did end up going to the website for the National Board of Professional Teaching, I think it was called. And it appears to me that it is that the standards taken to that are comparable to the master's degree program. And I'm just wondering if we have checked with the university and some others to see whether or not this made more sense to go with the official. We have the University of Boston, that would be the accredited university as far as we're concerned. And I'm wondering why you would stick with that with the university.
Representative Parks, through the chair, thank you for the question. I suspect this very will be able to speak greater detail as to the distinct feature between the requirements for a master's in teaching and MBCT, MBCT being, or MBCT being short commission board certification. My understanding is that master's in teaching certification is a bit more sort of, what you might say, is clinically oriented, so it really looks at how a teacher engages and performs in the classroom, and that MBCT degree is or a bit more sort of knowledge and theory oriented, but that is a very sort of from afar understanding assessment. And ultimately, being able to, but especially for this in any way at all, really sort of an in-depth approach that a master's degree is important for the professional growth and development and improvement of teachers, by all means, I think these districts in the state have that is reflected in the compensation system here if you get a master's degree, there's a bump in theory. And so for national person of person, somebody who already had a master's degree, they get national person certification, and other examples even through that. It's again, really just kind of question too. And so that's the thing. And given that there's no, cash and that is associated with national certification, whereas, other states around the country have done that, which I think a couple of small districts in Alaska have a lot of provide financial incentive for national board certification. But that's a district level decision, and each district is assigned to itself. But this bill doesn't do that, so I don't think it sort of leads into the waters of master's degree, as being a master's degree and being a national board certification as being in any sort of mutually exclusive relationship.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Fox. Representative Senator Hunter, do you have a question?
Process. This is, as a representative of Parkinson's, I said, unprecedented it's also remarkable is that there's a great number of higher education increasing national post-certification. This was in terms of 2000 bucks, 2000
4% of teachers achieving that certification by 2025. So, it takes several years to complete it. I think I heard that there are 24 teachers in the pipeline throughout the state. Could be wrong on that. The point is, it's a multi-year program. We have to take at least 200 teachers from there. Quite a few more teachers participate in this program. Is that a reasonable?
I think you may be more so on the current numbers on NBCC than
that sound is broken to really sound in the loss of numbers. Depending on the extent of sort of aspirationalness of the goal, and I'm torn between the issue of what I'm doing on my own, and it's not really 2.57 for sure, so I'm quite nice. We're talking about a delta of 1.43. Actual numbers, it was a lot more than I think we were doing on linear numbers, so things like years and becomes to help. It's an ongoing sort of goal, it's this is what it's tricky because it's the idea is to sort of put that out as a goal, something we want to work towards. We want to get to the end of a little bit in terms of looking through what are the common goals in the education community, the teaching community. I also sort of wanted to be just enough out there for it to mean something and sort of be something that I didn't teach to me. We could work towards this kind of cold walk situation. So what I'm hoping for is that just the perfect temperature of porridge, or make sure the ratchet is down to 3.5, or be a little bit more ambitious and bubble up. Really strong thoughts here, and that's really the most important committee.
Some states to help with retention, but it has resulted in curriculums lower turnover of teachers. To me, that's very positive. To begin with, several states to provide additional stipends to teachers that are looking for this certification, in particular at the struggling schools. And at least one of the other states provide some sort of financial incentive. Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. Dr. Corey, can you hear us? Thank you. assurance of potentially providing financial support for travel to the testing centers. Do you know how many teachers take this test each year? And I'll ask that by any chance.
Giving recognition to what is a private educational institution. This but it's a private educational institution for purposes of Article Section 7 of our state constitution. We need to think about whether there's a conflict of interest in opinion from that field.
She's always available, and I do know that the joint statement from her organization was provided to us late yesterday, and I refer to that for a lot of reasons. Thank you very much, Dr. Perry, for your presentation. It's very, very appreciate your being together with us at this time. Next up, we have House Bill 21 and a faculty member of the University of Florida Regional School. Representative Wall and staff, Jamie Ballinger.
Thank you, Ryan, co-chair of the House of Education Committee. My name is Representative Adam Holmes from Florida in Fairbanks. And my staff, Ashley Clark, is with me, who has done a lot of work on this bill as well. I'm here to reintroduce House Bill 21. It adds a faculty member to the Board of Regents to the University of Alaska. You may remember this bill from last year. Right now, Board of Regents has 11 members, including a student member who serves a 2-year term, is an IS faculty member, and also serves a 2-year term. A faculty member would have all the rights and privileges of the other regents, including one, which the student regent also has. Many other students have a faculty regent on their board, both public and private universities around the country. Currently, the Board of Regents does allow faculty to set their names. They don't vote. They sit in a slightly separate panel, I believe. And the board is in executive session. They are excluded. This would allow them to function as a full member of the Board of Regents. They are chosen by each of the three campuses of the University of Alaska, the Tocino, Edwards, and Fairbanks. Their faculty staff will each nominate two faculty members. These are maybe not have to be part of any of the Senate faculty center, and any faculty tenured faculty members to be nominated. The each class might have extended at the sex total, the number of changes more than sex, that person then gets approved by the legislature. So, similar process in the student league, and that's my brief overview. I believe there's a slight amount that hasn't been produced yet from travel in the region to travel. After the charter exam process, I had a presentation last year. I do not believe we had the university justify any answer. So, can you answer that question as well? Somebody have a position in support or not in support, and I've heard from them. They don't believe they speak individually, they tend to speak as a whole. But I think as a whole, they prefer the status quo if they have to. But that doesn't surprise me. It was, you know, there's a lot of numbers right now. They like a lot of numbers, so it's not that high. But if come, I don't know which session. Amended this bill, we changed the bill to meet it. We initially had a tie-breaking mechanism, and we threw that away. We said if there's a tie, then we should go back to the university and figure it out. Because if something was that close, even a 6-5 vote, I don't think it's very desirable. So a 6-6 vote would have to be resolved to make it 7-5, which I think is the better outcome. There was, as many of you may recall in years past, issues with the faculty members that had with the Board of Regents, and they felt they weren't being included in some of the decisions and dialogues that were happening. And I think this will help resolve some of that tension and allow afternoon to be an equal member and participate in the choices concerning university, concerning faculty, concerning programs. The same as the student, so I just believe it's going to empower you in that situation. There has been some statement of conflict of interest about faculty members on the Board of Regents, and they have made decisions that concern them and other faculty, but the same goes for the students. The Board of Regents votes on tuition hikes, which affects students. The Board of Regents votes on program votes, which affects students and paying faculty. So I think they have an equal amount of students.
University of Alaska, since our team is based overseas in this bill. Instead of that, we're out from the
financial issues or recent the financial struggles or as well as doing it before that even?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, to be honest, this issue came up before and all that. We've heard from faculty members, but in my very first year, you know, we're requesting to be gathered more still on the board. And then, now we had some of the issues around consolidation of the university and faculty were expressing their frustration at not being included in the committees or what made that offer to their recommendation. So, it's sort of all the points in support of this type of legislation, but obviously, I had maybe this draft was working on this before all this started. The meeting with the boundaries from so looking at the governor's left from the moderates before the adjudicated faculty there, how long would the region faculty even serve for a two-year term? Your Representative Hopkins, it's a two-year term similar to the student's term. Other regions are 8 years. So this is not a 8-year term for a faculty member, it's 2 years. We felt that having a relatively short term would be good, both for the faculty who has a job and also to get turn around and give up the lessons and the financial and much like that.
Thank you, Representative
Hopkins. I'm sorry, Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. If you're interested in that, there's lines to the I'm wondering if that would be the faculty member who had full voting rights, but they were limited to 2 years on the board. I can see one of the others are 3 year terms, and they end up with much more historical knowledge. This is a big thought from that dichotomy.
I think having a board member who is a function professional or university faculty member gives insight into a lot of stuff that the board makes decisions about the university. And I believe that's all that a student has to give not only representation, but the student might bring perspective that board members can have. I believe there's one board member now that used to be a faculty member at the university, but generally they're not generally their business leaders, corporate leaders, nonprofits, whatever. They're appointed by the governor. It's a political appointment. So you don't necessarily have people on the board that have any university experience other than maybe getting a degree themselves. So by having at least one person that works at the university understands some of the dynamics and tensions about working there, I think is useful. I grew up when I looked at something like the hospital board. Usually there's a physician on a hospital board. Why? Because they bring the perspective of the staff of a hospital. So if there's a nurse, nursing staff in a hospital board, you might have a nursing representation of the people that they're making decisions about and for. Each Senate faculty at each campus, 1.2 names. A process that we're not going to dictate, and those two names on each campus hold six, and then the governor holds one of those six. And they also have to be approved by the legislature. Thank you.
Just real quick, why is the emergency faculty not included in this? To the chair, UAS, University of Alaska Southeast is included. UAS and UAS, that's the three main campuses. And Howard, you mentioned Beaverage, Fairbanks.
Or at least in a given municipal assembly right now is in the process of adding a member to their body, which will bring them to 12, which is going to create the same kind of situation in terms of what is passed. Well, they have a 6-5 majority. They have passed lots of legislation, and now I have some representatives who will not have to have 7-5, which I think is indicates much more support for an issue than a very close like 6-5. So I have no problem with increasing the number at that point. But also, the student member also serves a 2-year term, or is it a 1-year term?
The student serves a 2-year term.
But I would also be very surprised if the faculty selects at that point a faculty member that has a significant history in the university right now that they would select a first or second year faculty member to represent them on the board of regents. And I know that the faculty pays a lot of attention to what's going on in that board. All right. We had a public testimony on this issue last spring, so we don't need to speak up on a testimony today. I am going to set an amendment deadline for House Bill 21 on Monday, January 24th at 5 p.m. And with that, I'm going to hold this bill in front of consideration. On the other hand, we will reconvene as the House Finance Deed Subcommittee, Budget Subcommittee, for the entire convening time. Our next meeting will take place as the standing committee on Wednesday, January 26th at 8 a.m. where we will convene as the regular committee for one hour, the first hour, and then reconvene as the budget subcommittee. And with that, we are adjourned.